for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, listen, I'll tell you, we appreciate you coming on. I know you've had a time to get away for a little bit, relax. But I have said before, and I'll say again, say it publicly, used to be told never use the word never. But what you've done with that program, Coach, is something that I can safely say will never be repeated. I think it's unprecedented what you've done, and I hope that all of our people here in Pensacola, the fans, people who appreciate football, realize what we have right in our midst here. It's just really an unbelievable feat, and I know what's coming. We've got a lot more to look forward to.
Well, I appreciate that, Coach. I mean, we got a great situation here, tremendous administration under Dr. Saunders, our president, and Dave Scott, our athletic director. So I feel very blessed to be a part of this and excited about being here in Pensacola and bringing a great brand of exciting football to our wonderful fans. It's been a lot of fun.
Coach, I'm going to get into something here a little serious. I've never thought of myself as being a negative person. I've always tried to be optimistic and look forward to the best. I'm concerned about, and I've been on the air here now for a few days, and we've been talking about what's going on in college football. Had Tony Barnhart on yesterday. From the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and kind of the dean of Southeastern football and talked to him. We talked to other people. I have to say up front that I'm concerned with this. It looks like the perfect storm coming down on college football right now. Hate to be that way, but let me tell you, when I look at this NIL, I see nothing but problems there, from the ability to cheat the system, quite honestly, to inadequacies that I don't know how you could keep it on an equal basis. And we could explain that in much more detail. I see the transfer portal as being a something possibly devastating. The association, closer association with gambling, and now the probability, I guess, that all we're hearing, I think it's pretty well done now, that they're going to go from four teams in the playoff picture to 12. And let me start there, and then we'll back up to the other issues. I don't think there are 12 teams that should be even talked about in the national championship derby. I can remember when they only rated the top 10 teams in the country, and always the end of the top 10, there were a couple of teams that the people wondered if they should even be rated. So now we're talking about 12 teams. It's going to cheapen the process, in my opinion. It's obviously a run-for-the-money game. I'm not sure how much pressure they've gotten, college football has gotten from bowl games to make a move this bold and include them in it. But I don't particularly care for it. I would like to see, personally, I'd like to see maybe an 18th field to play for the national championship. But 12, I just have a personal problem with that. Let's start with that issue, and let me get your feelings on that.
Sure, and I think, Coach, I mean, I think everything you said is really, you know, right on in the thought process. And I think as a fan of college football and a coach of, you know, college football at the Division II level, you know, they've done some last 10 years, what this thing would have looked like with 12 teams. And, they played this thing out. And, I look at it, and you're still going to get down to the final four or five that we've always had. And so, like you say, is this a way to get more money? Is this a way to create, more of, revenue for this? I'm sitting here looking at it going, okay, if I'm a Coastal Carolina, okay, this is exciting because now, that year we have a great year, we get to get in the mix, but Coastal Carolina versus Georgia, number 12 versus number 5, is that the matchup everybody's really looking for to say, okay, now they've got a chance to make it go? I don't know. I think when it's all said and done, it's going to come back to, those same four. I like your number of 8 because I think every year there's always a discussion of 5 or 6 could have made it in. I think 8 gets you a realistic, deserving group that has an opportunity.
Yeah, I feel that way. And there are obviously people that feel differently. There's some people that, and Paul Feinbaum, I've heard him say, for example, I'm excited about this going to 12 teams in the playoff. It makes it more exciting for me, more exciting for other people, college fans and so on. Well, that only goes to a certain point. I agree with you. You're still going to end up with the same 4 or 5 teams in there. And the way they've got it now, the top 4 teams that get the bye don't have a home game in the process. So I think there's some things they've got to iron out. It may change some. The format may change some. But as a whole, I'm not real fond of it at all. I wish they would reconsider. But having said that, that's not my decision to make. It's somebody else's. That possibly it'll work out to be more exciting. I doubt it, but let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's go to Coach. And I want to know, as we talk about these things, how it's going to affect your program, because this is going to filter down to your program. There's no question in my mind about that. I think this NIL legislation, to me, just opens Pandora's box for some bad things to happen. And who do you think these companies are with? If there's money for players there, their abilities, who do you think is going to get the big payday out of it? It's going to be the quarterbacks or maybe a receiver or a back or somebody. What about the left guard and the right tackle on defense? And it's not going to be equitable. There's just no way. Plus the fact that they're going to use this. When I say they, it doesn't necessarily have to be the head coach or any coach on the staff. It could be alumni out there. It could be anybody, because this does open that box, whether you believe it or not. To say you come to our school and you're going to be able to make this much money just for an appearance or to put your name on this product. And you come to Southern Cal, you're going to get this. You come to Alabama, you're going to get this. You come to Georgia, whatever. It clearly opens the door for that. There's going to be money involved in this. Anytime there's money involved, you're going to have attorneys and you're going to have agents involved. Now, some people say, oh, well, not necessarily. Believe me, when the money starts rolling for these players, they're going to have people representing them. You can bank it. And that's going to add another dimension to the college football picture, which is it's just just not very pleasing. I don't like it at all. Don't like anything about that. And believe me, now college football was never created to drive revenue for players to come through a college to make money. My gosh, when I was coming along, coach, if you could go to a school, have a chance to go to a school, everything paid for, tuition, books, pencils, food, housing, you had nothing except to go to school and play football. And that was like a gold mine. And now it's insulting to some people to say, well, you get an education out of it. They want more than that. And it's just gone off the tracks to me. I don't like it at all. And to boot, I think it's going to filter down, and it's going to be a problem not only for large schools, but it's going to be a problem for smaller schools as well. And here's a fact too that I want to throw out before I put you on here, because I want to hear your total feelings about this. But people don't realize there are 1,100, a little over 1,100 institutions, colleges and universities that have intercollegiate athletics. Over 1,000. How many of them operate in the black? How many are positive revenue? How many schools out of over 1,000 are making money? I can tell you. It's 25. Now, that's hard for people. People think, oh, my gosh, they fill in the stadium at LSU, now Alabama, Georgia, whatever. They're making money hand over fist. They're paying these coaches all this money. Surely they should pay the players. And then they have people representing the players saying they're really the game. It's not the other people. And it's just reverse. I mean, we've got a reverse order of priority here. And but this, you know, with this in mind and what it's going to create, I'm a little skeptical about everything that's going on right now. So maybe you could straighten me out.
No, I don't, Coach, I don't know if I can straighten you out. I mean, I think I've really tried to think through this entire process of what's going to take place, and really read a lot of people, and you know, people have similar opinions that you have, and in trying to, you know, figure out where is this going to go and what is it going to look like. And you know, you mentioned opening up Pandora's box. I mean, really, I think we're creating something that's going to be very difficult to control, and really opening up, a revenue line to people that, you know, what's going to keep it from happening when the person's a junior in high school, a sophomore in high school, like you said, from the recruiting process. Hey, look what we did with the guy before you. You're going to get that same thing here. If you go to this other place, you're only going to get this. And it's really just going to be open recruiting, havens there to say, this is the amount of money that we can give you. This is what this is going to look like. And then I think, you know, on that end, you know, none of it has to be followed through either, because it's all just going to be agreements. And so I think, you know, in the short term and in some of these things, that there's going to be some nice benefits for certain student athletes. But like you said, it's not going to be across the board, and it's not going to be equal. And it's really going to create, I think, that division and that, you know, cliques, for lack of a better word, amongst teams that college coaches really haven't had to deal with. Because you've got people on scholarship, and, you know, it's a Division I level. All football players are getting the same scholarship. It's pretty simple. We're all even. Now you're going to have, and, you know, you coached in the NFL, and there's a difference between the guys making big money and the guys not. And, you know, the guys trying to get to that level, it's just going to create some divisions and some things that college coaches have not had to deal with. And I'm kind of anxiously sitting by saying, how is this all going to play out? And then at our level, I think there's going to be those opportunities because there's going to be, you know, some guys that have that. You know, I'm not going to mention any names or say anything, but I think if you just look at this, that's going to be something that's out there. And, you know, we are processing right now as an athletic department, you know, the exact way to deal with all that and, you know, see exactly how we do it. And I'm intrigued to see, you know, what our plan is. But, you know, Coach, and you mentioned it, and, you know, I got three brothers who went on and played Division I football, and myself included, and we were excited to be able to get a scholarship, to have things paid for. And, Coach, I don't know that any of us, you know, sat around and said, hey, you know what, this university is making a lot of money. We should get more money out of this. We were just excited that 50,000 people came to watch us play. And, you know, my brother played at UCLA and got to play in Rose Bowls. And it's like, you know, we're just excited there are that many people in the stands to come watch us. And so there has been a shift in the mentality of, you know, how all this should work out. But with that being said, I just think it's just this big can of worms that we're getting ready to open up. And it's going to get really interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, you said you really hit some things right on the head there. When we were in school, I can't ever, ever remember any players sitting around talking about, well, if they don't find somebody to pay us, we're going to boycott it. We're going to leave school. We should be making money. And listen, there's some people out there. The sad thing is that there are fans and alumni and people out there that have the same idea, that they think colleges are just rolling in money. They really should be. Everybody should be aware of the fact that only 25 schools ended up in the black, ended up with a positive revenue flow. And some people say, how in the world can you put all those people in the stadium and with the TV money and all that? How could you do that? Well, all you got to do is start looking at the expenses, the facilities, Title IX, and so on. Well, I don't want to get, that's another subject. But you're right. Nobody sat around and worried about that, nor would anybody think about the availability of just transferring wherever they wanted to go, which is another thing. The transfer portal. I know that you get some, and qualified and well earned people that transfer in. But to be able to transfer in your own conference, like in the SEC, that was always taboo. You could never transfer. You know, you may transfer to another school. That was not totally unheard of. It was rare, but it was not totally unheard of. But you couldn't transfer to another SEC school, nor if you were in the Big Ten, another Big Ten school or whatever. And there are really logical reasons for that. It creates problems, many problems. We could go into a whole list of them. We're not going to do that here. But I think that's another issue that's detrimental overall to college football. To me, you got a contract. The school contracts with the player, and the player contracts with the school. What is the lesson learned here? That when you get out of school, if you don't like, you sign a contract and you don't like what's going on, you just violate the contract and move on. I don't know. I'm maybe getting a little far down in the bushes here, but I'm not for the transfer portal. And it's getting awfully close association now with college football and the gaming industry, the gambling industry. What are your thoughts on those two issues, Pete?
Well, Coach, I think, you know, obviously we've taken a handful of transfers, but it's really been under the guidance of the old rules that were set up. And
I mean, I was all for them. You know, when and if someone like, you know, we have rules in our conference that if you're an undergraduate and you want to transfer, you know, you can't transfer in a conference unless you've graduated from the institution, which I think is a fair rule. I think what they've done, you know, at the Division One level, you know, and they're saying it doesn't affect D2, but it does. There used to be a rule that you could not transfer up unless you sat out. And so that was, you know, FCS to D1, D2 to FCS, D2, you know. And, you know, now they've, with this one-time transfer exception, you know, blanket waiver, they've really opened the door for people to, you know, be dishonest. They've opened the door for people to recruit from other schools. They've opened the door for, you know, institutions to poach from other schools. And, you know, I think when people sit around and make, you know, make legislation, they only think of, oh, okay, this is good for the student athlete. They don't take into, there's bad people out there. You know, like you say, whether it's, you know, whether it's gambling, whether it's, you know, agents, whatever it is, there's bad people out there who are going to take advantage of any rule that you have. I was very comfortable with the rules that were in place, and the transfer portal really became a place for kids to advertise themselves. But they still, hey, if I'm transferring across the board, I've got to sit a year. If I transfer down, I can go and play immediately. Which I think if a young man goes to a Division I institution and realizes, hey, there's a lot of really good football players here, I don't know when my time's going to come, I want to transfer down, he should be able to do that without penalty. But to say I can go in conference, to say I can go to my rival, to say I can do that immediately and there's no penalty, man, I felt like the guideline was safe that, you know, you go and if you want to leave, you're going to have to sit a year because you had made a commitment. I mean, that institution spent a lot of money recruiting you. They've spent a lot of money developing you. They've invested in you, you know, but then the NCAA opened up, well, you can get a waiver. And really, for the most part, if there were conditions such as family or illness, you know, they could get those waivers. And I think the NCAA was pretty fair with them. So, again, I to me, this is very similar to the last subject we were talking about. It's just a big can of worms that we're opening up. And, we're, you know, I think people think, oh, well, hey, this is best for the young man. But is it really? Because there isn't a whole lot of thought of people leaving. Before, you had to think about it. You had to process it. You had to make sure it was worth it. Do I want to sit? Do I want to try to get this waiver? Well, hey, maybe I'll just stick it out. Maybe I'll just stay here and keep fighting through it. Now it's like, oh, hey, I'm free to go. I'm free to leave. I can do whatever I need to. So I think you got some hot-button topics, definitely, Coach. And, I mean, it's going to be interesting what the next couple of years looks like.
Well, it certainly is. Listen, I appreciate your time. I've kept you an awful long time. I know you're busy. Listen, I'd like to have you back on and talk about, wanted to get to UWF football for this coming fall, but we don't have time to do it now. But if you would agree to come back on and let's chat about what's to look forward to this year.
Now, Coach, would love to come back on. Just let me know. I mean, for everybody listening, we do have two camps coming up, July 9th and July 11th. And so still taking attendees if 9 through 12 graders want to come. We've had great success with those camps in the past. Looking forward to getting back after it after not being able to do them in 2020. But, Coach, let me know whenever you want me on. Always enjoy talking with you. And, always enjoy hearing your opinion on things. So thank you.